Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Coming to you live from the spare room in the house that's be dedicated office / YouTube space for some reason. Yes. Coming to you live while my baby girl is with her daddy in the other room. Coming to you live. Unemployed but hopeful. Yeah. What's up? First of all, let's do the preliminaries. It is Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day. That in and of itself tells you exactly what's going on culturally in this country, is that the divorce proceedings, the divorce is so bad at this point. The enmity between the mommy and daddies of the mommy and daddy of this country, the blue versus red. We know who the mommy is and we know who the daddy is. The split, the divide is so severe that they don't even want to call holidays the same name anymore. They don't want to find any common ground on a new thing to call it. They don't even want to agree to just forget about the day altogether. How about that? How about no holidays? Like China, no holidays. You go to school all year round. And that's the end of it. There you go. That's the end of it. No kids over there making turkeys out of an outline of the hand of their hands that they drew on paper. I know that's Thanksgiving, but this is kind of tangentially related. I don't know. Tangential? That's how you say that. Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day is just the beginning. If this keeps going, everything is going to be slashed. Everything is going to have a slash to it. It's going to be 9/11 / the chickens coming home to roost day. That's what it's going to be. 9/11 / chickens coming home to roost day. Christmas / capitalist manipulation day. What is it? What would be Christmas? Christmas / erasure of paganist belief systems day. Yes. Christmas slash Krampus. That's kind of it, right? Christmas / Krampus. That's this country, that's the split. We're like a black and white cookie over here. Like in New York, I don't know if you know what that is. That's a New York City thing. Black and white cookie. It's a cookie. It's half black. It's half white. It's a Puerto Rican cookie. It's a cookie. And people eat it. It's good, I guess. I think it's kind of an overrated cookie. But symbolically, somehow it means something in New York. And it doesn't mean, why can't we get along like a black and white cookie? You know? We can't, though. I mean, a black and white cookie doesn't get along itself. That's what makes it a black and white cookie. That's what makes it something people like. And maybe that's what this country is just going to become. It's like a black and white cookie. It cannot, the colors cannot blend because then you would have a gray cookie. We don't want a cookie with shades of gray. We want a fucking cookie that has both of the colors that we want. God damn it. Not blended into some bullshit. Right? I don't want some discourse between the black and the white in this country. I want it to stay black and white. God damn it. I want everything to be black and white. Black and white. That was the best era of American television, wasn't it? It was black and white. And our best cookie in America is black and white. And now our politics are completely black and white. Absolutely no nuance whatsoever. That's what makes it a good cookie. That's the way this cookie crumbles. Black and white. Yeah, Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day. That is the black and white cookie of American holidays. And I think they're all going to become that way. Everything is split between white, which is, you know, the whitewash version, And then the other side is split in the blackwashed version. It's another kind of a wash. It's just as lacking in the other color as the other one, as each other. Each one is lacking the other's color just as much. There's a lack of nuance in both. But that's what makes one very chocolatey and the other one very vanilla. And without that, you cannot have this cookie that we're talking about. And so I think we should just lean into it. I think we should do it. I think we should do it more, not less. People are like, oh, the divide. I'm like, embrace the divide. Exploit the divide. Increase the divide. And not even, actually, you know what? Not increase, right? But enhance. There's a difference. I don't think we should increase the divide because I believe that means, I think what I'm talking about there is just a civil war. I don't want a civil war. I want a black and white cookie. I think we should enhance the divide. I think we should make the black part of the black and white cookie more chocolatey, more rich and dark and indulgent. And that's exactly what, isn't that interesting? That's exactly what the I would call it counterculture, but I guess that kind of means more like beatniks and hippies. But it's like Satanism, you know. Satanism is just it can only exist with Christianity, right? Because it exists in opposition to it. That's its position. And Satanists are pretty lame, actually. Everything that Satanists try to do to get one up on Christians, or like Christianity writ large, is that the sin that they try to embody is already being represented somewhere much better. And it's a much larger, more corrosive force. Like Satanists who try to do porn. You ever seen a Satanist try to do porn? They try to, because they're trying so hard to be taboo and Marquis de Sade. They're trying so hard to be disruptive and evil, and satanic. They're trying to be, you know, anti-Christian. They're trying to be just completely degraded and corrupt. And then all you see, when you see them, it's just a bunch of skinny, pale people prancing around in lace, smacking each other with dead chickens or something. They can never really, and like giggling with dark sunglasses, the leather. You know, it's like they're cosplaying evil. They're not really evil. If you want to see real evil, just go on OnlyFans and sniff around there for a while. You'll see some questionable shit where you're just like, this isn't right. Is this where we're going? You know? And that's real. That's real. Because it's not trying to be satanic. It just is satanic. And satanic, to me, for me, that's what everybody says now. For me, satanic kind of means, but satanic, my understanding of it just means a force that like corrupts or twists, bends human nature towards habits and a lifestyle and principles that do not allow individuals or even communities to thrive, to be healthy, to be whole. Wholesome holes. Instead they just focus on holes. It's all holes. It's wholesome, but it's more about your holes, you know, your butthole, your vagina hole, your pee hole, if you have a penis, things like that, of that nature. So real evil is just happening. If you try to be evil, if you try to be satanic, you just kind of end up looking nerdy. You kind of end up looking like you've never seen evil in your goddamn life, is what I'm saying. One time have you ever looked into the eyes of like a real gangbanger? I have. That's evil. And the striking thing, have you ever looked in the eyes of pictures of soldiers from like the Russian gulags? Or something like that, or concentration camps. Look, you don't see evil. There's no evil there, in the sense of cartoonish evil, like Gargamel. There's no arched eyebrows in some weird. Maybe like briefly. Sometimes you'll see, maybe, something pass over somebody's face when they're being sadistic, particularly sadistic, maybe in a situation like that where you're a guard in a Russian gulag. But, you know, when you think nobody's looking. But for the most part, and even then, that's not evil, right? That's maybe like lust or an appetite for violence and cruelty and stuff. But if you look in their eyes, there's no evil, right? Because it's in all of us. The shit is in all of us. Evil is not, you know, a guy rubbing his hands together and laughing like that. Evil is just, evil is just the small things, really, that kind of add up. Evil are just, you know, all of, evil is like the Social Security office telling you to get a bunch of paperwork together, not explaining anything in detail, only for you to show up and them to tell you that you have to go back home because you didn't get all the paperwork together after you waited for 6 hours. You took a number and the numbers aren't even going in order and you waited, not knowing even when your number was coming up. I'm being very personal here, but that's evil. Evil is inhuman efficiency. That's what it is. Because the Russian gulags were not, they weren't created for the purposes of evil. They were created for the purposes of efficiency. They wanted to efficiently get rid of political opposition, then anybody that represented political opposition to them at the time, which intended to be people who were higher educated, more highly educated, and, you know, who had certain kinds of jobs and social positions that were above the working class, you know, engineers and stuff like that mostly. So and then the efficiency, it was more efficiency because now they had all these engineers in jail to use to make things like, canals and things like that, build shit, which they did shit poorly because they hadn't eaten in days, etc. Okay, you get the point. Anyway, Satanists are retarded. But anyway, look, what I'm saying is this country should enhance its divisions, not increase them. Enhance. I want the whitewash people to get more whitewash. I want rosy cheeks. I want people like reenacting the first Thanksgiving unironically. I want it, right? I want people walking around going back to thinking that blondes have more fun and boys will be boys. Go hard. But then I want black to also be enhanced. I want blackness to be enhanced also, okay? And I'm not talking about black people. I'm just talking about the counter to the default here, or what used to be the default, or what they want to be the default. It was never the default, but they want it so bad. They want this to be Pleasantville. At least the people who are like more into tradition and stuff like that, they want that, so they got such a hard on for that memory, that McCarthy era fake America that never really happened. They want it, man. Let them have it. Let them, because at this point, this country, we're at some weird level of economic development where we're not like the Scandinavian countries, right? We don't have it on lock like that. We can't enjoy that level of efficiency. Lots of reasons. Too big, too varied, many different states, not the same setup. A lot of shit going on here. And people value individuality here too much. Not going to happen. Also, everybody has guns, so you can't like beat it out of them. I mean, you could. I know the counter argument to, you know, people having guns. It's like you can't fight the government. That's not the point, right? It's like, it's just the fucking fallout from squashing the rebellion, whatever the hell that takes the form of here, would look so bad internationally that I think this country would prefer to avoid it. I'm not saying that they're incapable of, you know, attacking their own people. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's not a good look. So they try not to. And so, yeah. But I just want it all. Just enhance it. I want every single holiday to have a counter, like, cunty, you know, response holiday. just keep doing it. Because all that's going to happen is the culture is going to split and get divided into just two different camps of consumerism. What else is going to happen? Nothing. The only thing that would change it is if people actually started to put their money where their mouths are. Like, the people who talk shit about everything that's going on here politically, your only step, the only step you have left is terrorism. It is. The only unconquered territory past all of the shit talking that we've all been participating in all this time is to just straight up commit terrorism. And some people have been starting that shit already, but overall, in the zeitgeist, you know, the Overton window of that, it's not really there. We're in a weird place where shit is so frustrating, I guess. The divide here is so frustrating, but not even just a divide, but like the legitimate problems here with healthcare, with education, with, you know, the fucking IRS, with bureaucracy, with censorship or attempts at censorship, because we, you know, legally you can't really have that, has been so frustrating, so deranging for people, because the solution seems so obvious that when somebody does flip out and shoot somebody or try to shoot somebody in the face or some shit, people, I think they empathize with it. They don't condone it or sympathize. Some wackos do, but I think for the most part, people kind of go, I get it. That's stupid, but you know what are you going to do? That's kind of the shrug, the big shrug. That's what we're all doing here, the big shrug. So that's where we're at, but I don't think we're past that. We're not at a place where people are just like, yeah, kill them all, kill them, kill them. Although it's not that far. The one is not that far from the other. Speaking of death, Diane Keaton, RIP. Diane Keaton, I just want to say something real quick for her, because Diane Keaton is the end of a different kind of era of American culture. And it's the era of personality, true personality, like individualism and personal style and nonconformity. She really was a part of that, because it was the part of, you know, the era of acting and theater, where acting, theater, and film were three things that a lot of talented people were working in, that they introduced, you know, methods and discipline to. And it was beautiful. And they made so many beautiful works of film, theater that resonate to this day. They came up with techniques for acting that just gave so much more of a richer, deeper authenticity to actors than ever before. And it was just more vibrant. Clearly, the economy was better, so that probably helped a lot. But because of that, you know, people like Diane Keaton came on the scene, and she wasn't flashing her titties around. Diane Keaton, the opposite, actually. She was covering up. She was actually very, very covered up all the time. I don't know why. I don't know what she was trying to hide, that bitch. But it looked really nice, and she had a really cool, unique look. She wasn't trying to be a sex pot. She was very, you know, vivacious and charming and beautiful, right? Great actress and very compelling. So just, you know, one for the homies, for Diane Keaton, because she was a pretty good actress. Anyway, moving on. We got Ice. Yeah, Ice is a mess, and people are unhappy with it. That's kind of all I have to say about it, because that's kind of what's been in the news. It's been a mess in the sense of they are basically detaining people who, like, U.S. Army veterans, people who just have regular jobs, 17-year-olds, kids, people, kids with cancer, all kinds of bad looks all over the place. But the thing is, I don't know. Is this what people wanted when they were like, let's fix immigration? Because that's not what I was thinking. The whole detention center thing, I mean, they just opened more. And they just started packing it in with more people, but not the people that you even were like, we need to get them out. You wanted the drug dealers. Instead, they're just shooting missiles at fishing boats and then incinerating them and go, we got some terrorists. And you're like, you did? What's the proof? It's like, just trust us. And then meanwhile, you got detention centers opening up. And that's not what I would have assumed the populist sentiment was. I don't know personally. I got a different relationship with immigration, parents, kind of a sort of in out immigrants, sort of. My mom, yes, dad Puerto Rican, so according to, you know, Midwesterners, he's an immigrant, but everybody else who knows, he's an American whose parents speak Spanish, and that's kind of it. But they already had detention centers, is the thing. My understanding of what people wanted was just the borders to be run better. That's all. That people were going through, they were letting them go. It was kind of a mess. The mess is the key word. And that they were going to fix that. Like, I thought they were going to fix the computers. That's what I was like. So wait, you guys want them to fix the computers? Yeah, me too. Sure. Fix the computers. What's going on? Why can't you process these people? You know, why are they languishing? Yeah, put some more immigration judge up. But what I didn't expect them to just go guns pulled out of the holsters, just kicking down doors and pulling out just, you know, like fucking Latvian surgeons mid-surgery, you know what I mean? And then just kicking them to the curb. I didn't think that was going to happen. Although, what did I expect, right? I mean, I've just never seen this happen before as an adult. So, what the hell, dude? I don't think this country can do anything without it just becoming some kind of some weird game of cowboys and Indians, you know? That's kind of the, I think that's all this country has, cowboys and Indians, is that. Every time there's a populist thing, it's just going to be cowboys and Indians eventually. It's just going to be fucking bombs and guns blazing, and somebody's going to be the Indian, you know? It's like kids playing on a playground. It's like, tag, you're it. We're after you now. Have fun. Run. We're going to count to four. We're going to count backwards. We're going to count backwards from 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, say, are you running? Are you hiding? You're it. Ha ha ha. Right? And then they just go, that was a Kid Bush impression, I think. That's, you know, and honestly, that's the real reason that socialism can't work in this country. It is the real reason. It's not for any ideology. There is no rhyme or reason. There is no data set that's going to tell you why not. Why can't socialism work here? It's not, the reason is not because of racism. The reason is not because of late stage capitalism. The reason is not green eggs and ham. They don't want capitalism, Sam I Am. They don't want it. Not even with green eggs and ham. And, communism, sorry. And yeah, communism does come with a lot of green eggs and ham because it's all moldy. But yeah, I think if you try to implement socialism, if you try to implement anything here, it doesn't matter what it is, it will devolve into cowboys and Indians. That's the reason why what you want most of all is for this country to just do the things they are already supposed to do well. Don't add things. Stop trying to add things. They're always trying to push laws to add shit you didn't even ask for. Stop adding things. We don't need more laws, addendums. We don't need any more. You don't need any footnotes. You don't need any asterisks in the Constitution, right? You know what you're doing. Do it right. I think that's... Is that it? That's what I think. It's like, what I would want is, like, fix the computers in the government. How come every government website you go on, it's like fucking DOS prompt, Windows 97 era websites? Fix it. Fix that. That would, You know how many terrorist attacks, like domestic terrorism, you would eliminate 50% of potential American bred terrorists, domestic terrorists, if you fixed the government websites. I swear to you, if you fixed the government websites, if you made it so that when you go to apply for a new driver's license, it's efficient, it's fast, it's great, it's like that, maybe you get a fucking Best Buy gift card on the way out, you know, hello. That's what you want. Fix the websites and you will eliminate 50% of domestic terrorism in this country. I swear to you right now, that's the platform I'm running on. God damn it, I'm running for office. No, I'm not. Anyway, but really, we got to stop beating around the bush here. Seriously, it's the things we're talking about that we want government to fix is not, it's not like taking guys named Manuel away from their car dealership companies and throwing them into fucking South Sudan. It's like, fix the websites. Seriously, fix the websites. And don't make us wait. Do call waiting whenever we have to call in for some fucking shit with the IRS or something. Fix the tax system. Make it easier. Help us. Why the fuck can't they just get it right? It's like, we just want our lives to make sense. That's all. Not to be deranged every time we have to do something really simple just to get anywhere. A license, a passport, a social security card. For God's sakes, like, get your shit together. That's all. And I don't even know, they just fired a bunch of people anyway from a bunch of from the CDC. Is that going to fix the websites? If it fixes the websites, fire them all and just put AI in its place. I don't give a shit. I just want the websites to work. Anyway, okay. So on to lighter fare. We got Gaza. Yes, Gaza. The aftermath of Gaza. They're saying it's the aftermath, but it's the aftermath of this war, if you want to call it a war. I don't know if you can call it a war. But they're saying it's the aftermath of the war, because now Hamas and Israel have come together and made a couple of agreements. They're exchanging hostages, finally. So this is a good thing, I guess. I don't know anything about this fucking region. This isn't even my country. Why do I have to always care about this fucking place? But Gaza aftermath. Yeah, I watched a couple of clips on Two-Way about it. They tend to be pretty neutral with the Israel-Palestine thing, but they do kind of lean more towards like pro-Israel. I think it's because, I don't know, it's a generational thing, but they do. But I read Wake Up to Politics, which is this Substack that I've been checking out. It's pretty good. They kind of broke down the whole thing, basically what's going on. So yeah, they're like 2 years, 6 days after the October 7th attack that launched the longest and deadliest war of the modern Israel-Palestinian conflict. A ceasefire has taken hold in Gaza. Seems like that one's going to stick, I guess. And that's based on Trump's 20-point plan for peace, I think. But yeah, do you want to call this a war? Can we call this a war? I don't know. This is not a, because it's, this is more like, hello, this is the 2 years where there was a terrorist attack and then Israel just absolutely pummeled this entire part of this country. That's it. It just laid it to waste. I don't know if you can call that a war. I think, I don't know, maybe from Israel's perspective, it's more like, if anything, it's more like terrorism whack-a-mole. That's kind of what they do. They just, because they're the only ones with the mallet in this situation. And Hamas is just kind of, you know, Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, the Houthis, they're just like these moles just kind of popping up from all these holes, and Israel's just whacking them with a mallet. That's whack-a-mole. It's whack-a-mole if I ever saw it. The last 20 living Israeli hostages in Hamas captivity were released this morning. All right. 250 Palestinian prisoners serving long and life sentences in the process of being released by Israel. as are more than 1,700 Palestinian detainees who were being held by Israel without charges. I think there's like a couple of kids with that included, which is, you know, Palestinian kids. I don't know, because, you know, if you, on the one hand, it's their kids. On the other hand, I think Israelis are like, these are kids. These kids tried to, like, you know, just ran through the square stabbing people. So we had to put them away. I don't fucking know. I don't know what's going on here. But they're letting them go. Trump flew there, which is crazy. He just flew to Egypt with a bunch of top leadership in the administration, I think, according to Two-Way. He's going to be in a peace summit in Egypt. I think that happened already. And yeah, he's like, this is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. Blech. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole lot of platitudes. Love that. Love it. Love it. Love platitudes. But it just feels, the whole thing feels kind of hollow, doesn't it? I mean, you watched so many things get exploded over the last 2 years. So much death. And look, I understand that this is war and all that. If you want to call it that. But I understand that this is terrorism, whack-a-mole, and everything, but the thing is, when you're playing whack-a-mole, there's just you're just hitting moles, right? The moles aren't popping up through those holes holding their babies over their heads as human shields. They're not doing that. So this is kind of a whack-a-mole, but just a like the hardest level of the game, and they. They whacked those moles anyway. Like, they did it anyway. And it was crazy. And the thing is that Palestine's always had better PR. They always had a better toehold in the media forever. And I think if you weren't into that kind of stuff, like, if you weren't into that, into, like, geopolitics in that region at all, if you didn't have any eyes on it, you wouldn't have noticed it, but for decades, Palestine has been sort of in, you know, college culture, in sort of down low, you know, non-mainstream circles and stuff. There's been lots of fundraisers for Palestine, for Gaza, for decades and decades and decades. For, I mean, at least as long as Noam Chomsky's been alive, and that's a long fucking time. So, because he's been an advocate, and with him have been a lot of people who have been with that and in support of it. So, you know, in support of the Palestinian people, whatever that means to you. So they were kind of primed for social media and the way it took off to have the upper hand. So, and I don't know what that means, because the thing is, at the end of the day, that, you know, you're blowing up people all over the place, blown up buildings. There's people just shopping. You just blow them up. And I don't know. And the problem is that for Americans, it's just that whole thing is on your phone. The whole thing is happening on your phone. So what does that mean to you? What does it mean? You know, what does it mean with a fucking guy walking around with a headless baby? Both sides. I don't know. It just means that you got to turn your phone off. Go touch grass, right? Isn't that what they say here? Go touch some grass. Oh my God, is that a headless baby? Oh my God, I got to go touch some grass. I'm going to get a latte. And that's kind of America. So that was our foray into the Middle East crisis as millennials, as Gen Zers, as Alpha Centurions. Is that the group that comes after? I don't know. But now they're just making all these speeches. It's gross. The whole thing is just, I think it's left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And people are kind of tuning out to the from the news now. And they're like, oh, maybe it's like news fatigue. It's like, no, I don't think so. I think it's just like shit got too real. And people are all like, damn, I need a detox. I need to detox from all these dead babies. Oh, God. man, yeah, I can't wait to just detox from my phone. And then you just leave. You just leave that whole region in your phone and you just go about your day. But like, what can you do? That's what I'm saying. Because the people that I know that are just, they just keep going and going about it. First of all, they stop having friends. That's kind of all that happens. Secondly, what are you going to do? What can you do other than terrorism? This is what I'm talking about. Your only step forward with that, with the kind of rhetoric that people have been championing during this whole crisis, if you're like pro Hamas, not pro Palestinian, right? Like not pro like, hey, can we just stop killing these people, but pro like, these are freedom fighters, you know, is like go blow up a Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know. Why don't you go do something and shut up if you're not gonna. So that's the thing. But you know, they're in the Trump administration's in Egypt right now. Look, this is the 2 years of war. This has been the effect, right? Death toll: more than 67,000 Gazans, more than 2,000 Israelis been killed during the war. That's great. Another 42,000 Gazans, one in four of whom are children. Life-changing injuries after the conflict, including severe injuries to arms and legs, spinal cord, brain, and major burns. That is fucked up. According to the UN, more than 90% of homes in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed, displacing nearly all of the 2.3 million Palestinians who live there. So, yeah. So they took a city, and they basically... they blew them into the hills have eyes. That's basically what these people are now. It's the hills have eyes. So now you go, you're walking around, you get past one particular, you know, longitudinal, latitudinal coordinate past a certain number, and all of a sudden you got a wasteland full of mutants. That's basically it. And that's what they're shaking hands over in Egypt right now. They're just like, we did it. It's like, look, I get it. I get that they're happy they defeated Hamas. I get that. I'm just saying, I don't know. I think the celebration should be a little muted, not just because of Palestine, but also Israelis, right? And their death toll. I mean, 2,000 Israelis, that's in addition to the 1,700 who died. I mean, that's a lot also. That's a lot of people. I mean, should we be celebrating? Should we be fucking making these speeches? I don't know. I think we should all... I don't think anybody should be saying anything at all right now. We should just be like, all right, well... all right, everybody go home. We're just, you know, we'll keep you updated on the hostage exchange. And that's it. That's all. It's like, we're really sorry. Everybody should be apologizing. Everybody. All right. Let's see. Hamas leaves the war intact but significantly degraded. Yeah, no shit. Let's see. What else does Wake Up to Politics have to say? Arab nations like Qatar pushed Hamas to give up the Israeli hostages after being attacked by Israel itself last month. Yeah, man, Israel was just whack-a-moling all over the fucking area. Iran appears to have lost its appetite for backing the organization after a 12-day war. Entire top leadership of Hezbollah was killed. Great. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, another Iranian ally, was toppled. Yeah, because Syria had to start all over again after this. I mean, really. This is crazy. But then that region has always been so volatile that I don't even know if this feels weird to them over there. I don't know. I'm not there, so I can't tell. But I don't. If you ever go on YouTube, just watch a video of the change of power dynamics in the Middle East over the last 2,000 to 3,000 years. And it's like they do it accelerating. So you watch like for every minute, like every 5 seconds or every minute or something, every 30 seconds, it's like another 200 years or some shit. So you just see this change in the color of the map based on the different caliphates and kingdoms. And it just, it's never not moving. It's never not drastically moving. So I don't know if this area even thinks that this is weird. I don't even know. I have no idea. Let's see. Yeah, and then the whole thing is like, yeah, the future of Gaza remains unsettled. Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, can you even call it Gaza anymore? I mean, isn't that just like beachfront property at this point? And then of the 20 points that Trump proposed for the peace plan, there are 16 other points that go beyond the war and speak to the future of Gaza and the Israel-Palestinian conflict. Israel/Palestinian. There's that black and white cookie again. These include a pledge by Hamas to lay down its weapons and play no role in the governance of post-war Gaza, and the creation of, and the creation of a committee of Palestinian technocrats. I hate that word. Now they're using technocrats. A lot of words have come into the lexicon in this, in the 21st century that are really disturbing, like elites and technocrats. I don't think people use the word elites the way we do now, or they haven't in a while anyway. Before, I remember in the 90s, you would say elitist, but it was a derogatory term. You would be like, what are you, some kind of fucking elitist? You think you're better than everybody? And now it's elites, unironic elites. They're better than us. And also now technocrats who will govern the territory with oversight provided by an international board of peace, which Trump has volunteered to chair. I mean, whatever you do with these Palestinian technocrats, do not hire the software developers that build American government websites. That's the .gov, the .gov programmers, those contractors, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Get somebody else. Get somebody freelancing on Fiverr. Half of those people are Middle Eastern anyway, or Indian or something. So you'll be giving back to the people. Just don't give it to the .gov web developers. I don't know where the fuck those people learn how to program, but they have not improved anything here. These details, yet to be accepted by Hamas, will be the subject of today's summit in Egypt with Trump in attendance. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, the West Bank, will be on hand, blah, blah, blah. So now, yeah, basically it's all up in the air. Things look peaceful right now, but we don't know. That's it. That's the end of that. So yeah, and that's Gaza. They're still look. I don't think they've returned. They've returned the living hostages, but they haven't returned the non-living hostages. Let's see. Hamas is supposed to return the bodies of 28 Israeli hostages who died and kept. I mean, what the fuck is the holdup? Only 4 have been released. What are you looking for the part, like body parts? Are they trying to glue these bodies together? Just last minute, they're just like, where's that hand? Where was the last time you saw the hand? Oh man, I think it's on my bedside table. I was using it as a back scratcher. Oh shit, oh, get it. They're just trying to, where's the glue? Oh man, we're out of glue. We gotta get more glue. Melt that horse down over there. We'll figure it out. Watch a YouTube video about how to make glue from horses. They're just gonna, can they not find the bodies? Do they, they're like, where is it? I thought you had it. I'm an asshole. Okay. So at least they're not going to try to weaken at Bernie's it, the bodies. They just give it to them. Like, yeah, sorry. How did they just end up dying? Probably just, I bet half of them died because of Israelis droning some fucking school. And they're like, oh shit, that's where the hostages were. Anyway, well, hopefully, I mean, I hope there's peace there. I really do. I don't give a fuck who accomplishes it or something. I mean, I just hope it gets better. Right? That's my stupid American plea to nobody. And then it's in tangential news, you got $160 million. That's The International Intriguer. That's also a Substack. Really good international affairs blog. That's roughly how much one mysterious crypto trader earned on Friday after shorting Bitcoin and Ethereum just 30 minutes before President Trump's 100% China tariffs tweet triggered crypto's biggest single-day wipeout in history. Timing and scale of this big crypto bet have revived concerns around market manipulation and insider trading. Oh, well, that's kind of not tangential. I don't know what's going to happen to the Middle East after this peace process. I do know that I think the Middle East is like any other region in this world is just trying to get prosperity to its people. Iran is reportedly trying to become a destination for affordable gender transition operations. Its doctors have decades of experience because the government has long forced transgender Iranians to undergo the surgery. See? Iran's stepping up, right? They're taking a back seat. They're putting the terrorism on a back burner. And they're like, okay, fine. If you can't beat them, join them. See? So things are looking up. Things are looking up. Anyway, that's all the time I have for you today. Enjoy some black and white cookies if you never have. And just bliss out on the fact that black and white can come together, not be together, and still make a great cookie. This has been the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz. I was Melissa Diaz. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. Thank you so much for listening. For now, I hope you enjoy your week. Stay tuned for Thursday. I'll be back with some more news for you news-fatigued individuals. Yeah, have a great week, and stay safe out there. Goodbye.